Gardens. How many have already had your hands in the garden this spring? Okay? Very good. As we go through Lent, we're talking about sacred places, sacred spaces, and this week we're talking about the sacred space of garden. And a sacred space being that place where God comes near, where we encounter God. Things happen in the gardens. I'm not a big gardener, but I grew up with one, my dad came from a farming family, and so we always had gardens growing up. And in fact, there would be times I remember my father saying, "I need some dirt therapy," and out he would go to the garden. You understand what I'm talking about? That dirt therapy. Something happens in the garden that is sometimes kind of strange, but it happens. And you know, they've done research. There's research on people that have encountered gardens and participate in gardening on a regular basis. In general, people that garden use less anxiety medication than others. Wow. I want to know what's in that garden. And people that garden, typically their blood pressure is lower than people that don't garden. Things happen in the garden. In fact, there's been research that shows people in hospitals, if they've had opportunities to maybe even see outside their window or be in an environment of garden, they heal more thoroughly and quicker than people that don't have that opportunity. Things happen in the garden. I've learned that this dirt therapy, when people are digging around in the dirt, that there's actually microorganisms in the soil that when you dig around in the soil, they release, and then they get within you, and it helps release serotonin, which that's what makes you feel good. So stuff really does happen in the garden. And this week, as I was getting ready, I was pondering gardens in the Bible. And there's numerous times that gardens are mentioned in the Bible. And I'd like to mention four. The first, where's do you first encounter garden in the Bible? Yeah, right at the beginning, right? At Garden of Eden is often what we call it. The Garden of Eden, where life began, where God spoke life into existence. This is the beginning of life, was in a garden. And in this garden was a tree, right? And hang on to that tree for a second, because we're going to talk about some more gardens in a little bit. But in this Garden of Eden, this first garden was a source of life, where God spoke life into existence, and it became the source of life from then on. So that was one garden. Another garden, the garden in Gethsemane. This is the garden where Jesus goes to pray before he is about to be crucified. And in this garden, Jesus is experiencing that which he was anticipating, his death. And he didn't want it at that time. He even, in fact, said, if there's any other way that this can happen, I'm all open for that. And yet, not my will, but yours. This happened in garden, that which you feel the presence of death coming upon you. And then there was the garden at Golgotha. We were told that when Jesus was crucified and when they brought him down off of the cross at Golgotha, there was a new tomb that had just been hewn and not been used in the garden. And that's where they placed him, in this garden. So a place of death. until 3 days later. And then he walked out of that tomb in that garden, proclaiming to the world, you know that thing that you thought had the final word, death? I'm here to proclaim that no, it doesn't. This happens in a garden, which looks like there's death, but then there's new life. And life has the last word, and it is God's life. And then the fourth is a garden, sometimes not referred to as garden, but sometimes it is. And it's in Revelation when there is this vision of a new paradise, sometimes translated as garden, a new paradise. And what's in that garden? A tree. Remember that tree at the beginning? Isn't that interesting how in the Bible it starts with a tree at the beginning of that story, in a garden, and at the conclusion of the Bible, there is another garden and another tree. Things happen in a garden. And so, as I was pondering all of this about garden and God coming near us in a garden, that sacred place of garden, I thought, I gotta go to a garden. I need to go to a garden. And so, Edgar, can I ask a favor? Can you turn the lights down, please? Thank you. So all the way down. There you go. Thank you. Mother Nature is providing quite a bit of light. We'll send it up. Thanks, Edgar. So I went to a garden, and maybe it's a garden you've been to. It's the Denver Botanic Garden. Okay? So yesterday morning, I went to the Denver Botanic Garden. Just so you know, I love the Botanic Garden of Denver. So I went down, and I didn't know what I was to expect yet, you know. So I got through and turned the first corner, and there was all this what you could see where life had been, where plants had been before, but now there wasn't any. Until you walked and you paid attention in this garden, then things like this started showing up. Not right there in front of me at that moment. That would have been really wild, wouldn't it? I was like, whoop, there's a... But I noticed this, and I've since learned that's crocus, correct? Good. Crocus. And it was beautiful, but it caught my eye. In this garden where I thought I didn't know how much life I was going to see, I noticed this. There it was, in the midst of that which only shone, all around it only showed signs of what life used to be. Here, new life was happening. And it caught my eye. And then it kept on looking, and there was more and more little signs of life all in this garden that was mostly filled with nothing other than signs of where life used to be in the garden. Now there were little hints that life was going to return. Please go. There we go. And I was grateful that there weren't a lot of people there. Because you can picture me down on my hands and my knees photographing these itty-bitty little things popping up through the soil. And so I was photographing these signs of new life coming up through all that was around it that where life used to be and now was either dormant or dead. But now new life was pushing through in this garden. And I started to ponder what kind of a strength must be required of this beautiful, tiny little plant to push itself up to be seen and to blossom and to catch my eye. It's only this big. But it caught my eye. This was all happening in the garden. And more and more and more. Oh, and this guy. This guy. That what you just did, that's what happened to me in the garden. I had this experience of, oh, right? It happens in the garden. Now, I don't know if that's some of those microbes coming out of the soil or that's just me. I don't know, but I was encountering these flowers and this small creature just quietly, not bothering anybody, itching its ear. Something happens in the garden. And then there were these signs of plants, of life, that were well on their way to being their life being concluded, to dying, what seemed to be death. And yet they were hanging on to that last little bit of color that was within them, hanging on a little bit more so that they could continue to live. But it was clear that their destiny was like all of ours. And then there was invitations. I tell you, the Denver Botanic Garden, I think, almost has as many benches as it does plants. It's not true, but there are a lot of benches in the garden, at the Botanic Gardens. And so when I see a bench, I hear invitation to come and sit down and to be with our Creator. And so I did. I went down and sat down and looked upon another portion of the garden. And this is one of those portions of the garden that something happens in this portion of the garden for me where my pace of walking slows way down. And it's not necessarily conscious. I just start to walk slower. And I can feel stress kind of leave me. And so I walked, and then I noticed there were children and their families, children enjoying the gardens, and you could hear them kind of throughout the gardens, this little gleeful sounds coming from these little people as they were around the corners, and because they were seeing this new life popping up too. They were seeing, they would get excited about and wondering where they were going to see the next sign of life. And so, and now they're looking down into the water, and you know what they're seeing? Yes. And I tell you, they would love it. And there's this all happening in the garden, this place where God comes near. And we may not even notice it, but God's coming near and bringing new life. And then there was a reminder of who I belong to, my identity as a child of God. I was reminded of that in the garden. And then I saw other signs of what life used to look like. What life used to look like in the garden. And its remnant has its own beauty. And we're grateful for it. And I found myself drawn to that also. And in a sense, there was a sense of life that was still in that, even though that plant was only a skeleton of life, what it used to be. And then I looked down, and there these tiny little plants pushing themselves up through the soil to be what they've been created to be, this new life in this new place, and to be the best that they can be, and only as they can be. But it's in the midst of this community. That's the thing about gardens. I was thinking about gardens are places where there are a whole variety of plants and animals, right? If there's just one plant, what's it called? A crop. It's not a garden. If you just have one plant in your garden, it's a crop. It's not it's not a garden. It's just one plant, one type of plant. And I grew up, that's called crop, corn, wheat. It's one type of plant. But in a garden, there are whole varieties of different kinds of plants and animals enjoying that same space, all being cared for. All being cared for by gardeners. And there were gardeners in this garden. Yesterday, there were gardeners there. There's a bunch of gardeners. And I could hear them. I was in a place I couldn't see them, but I could hear them talking as they were taking care of the soil. And I thought about this week's text that where we heard about the fig tree. About the fig tree that was not producing figs. And the owner wanted to get rid of it. But the gardener said, oh, just let me work the soil around that plant and place some manure on it. And then maybe there will be fruit next year. And so in a garden where life can seem to struggle to live, gardeners come and work the soil so nutrients can get to the plants. And manure, isn't it interesting? Manure, that which bodies get rid of, right? It's waste. But in the hands of a gardener, it can be a source of bringing new life. In the hands and care and love and nurturing and wisdom of a gardener, that which seems to be lost and done can have new life. And there's an urgency. There's an urgency for this life to happen and to happen quickly. But you know, none of those gardeners can make it happen faster than what it's supposed to be. And then there are all kinds of varieties of plants that I don't know anything about. But I found myself looking at them. And it's not going right now. I have a feeling the battery is getting close to being done. Oh, thank you. And then you go inside, and there's more garden. You go inside, and there's more garden and plants that I don't see when I'm walking up in the gardens of God up in the mountains. You don't see these. And there's such diversity and such beauty and such life, all in the gardens, all in the garden, the sacred space. And then in this garden, God comes near and I encounter God and I hear God lean in closer and look more closely. Lean in and let the sun shine through and see what you see. And so that's what I did. In the garden, God came near and the light shone through this leaf. And I started to see things that were tiny and minute. And yet, it was all put together and it all had purpose and it all had reason. And it all worked together for the sake of life. All in the garden. And I started thinking about garden as places where we encounter God. Gardens where there is a promise of life. And there's work that happened in gardens. Work of the gardener, work of the plants, work of the community, so the garden can be full and fresh and bursting with life that is abundant. Because I have a feeling when I go back to the gardens in a month's time, I will find a garden that will look very different than the garden that I experienced yesterday. Because that's the way gardens are. They don't stay the same. They change. And in our gardens of life, we have a gardener that comes near to us to nurture us And there is expectations that we must do our work too. But it's for the sake of the garden. And that's where God comes near. And we are called into this garden with love. And in it we find healing. In those places in our life where we feel like it's barren, or weeds are taking over, or there is brokenness, and then there, you wonder, how much longer do I have to experience this lifeless experience, or this experience that is taking life away from me? I can't stand it much longer. God comes near and brings promise that there will be life. Just like those gardens in the Bible, times when death seems to be the prominent voice, Jesus, God, comes near and says, no, I will have the last voice. And that voice is saying life. And so today, as we gather as a community, we gather in God's garden, where we find this promise of life. And where we step into these gardens, we find ourselves encountering a God that can bring healing. So I invite us, friends, to participate in the gardens of God, to participate and encounter God, and to till the soil and to work it so that life will happen. And it may look different than it used to, but it'll be God's life. That's what we're called into. And so may we encounter this God that promises life in the sacred space of garden. Amen. You can bring the lights up, please.